sensitive, and I understand how sensitive it is. So I'm going to be extra careful in not offending anybody. There's people that would die over what we're going to talk about tonight. That's how serious it is. That's how sensitive it is to people. It's that level of importance. Religions have been born over this topic. Churches have split over this topic. It's such a sensitive topic. I consider it deadly. I mean, families have divided over it. So God forbid if I misuse my liberty and unnecessarily offend people in here. So what I'm going to try to do is, as much as possible, to avoid misunderstanding, is give you scriptures, and which I believe are biblically sound, and you determine if you believe them or not. I'll do my job, you do yours, amen? And God help this church to ever remain vigilant and true to what is the authority for what we believe. It is the Word of God, amen? Paul said, some believed the things which are spoken, some believed not. There's a poem I read before I start our passage. Blow the trumpet, ring the bell, dress it up and make it sell. Fill it with the rich and well and count the heads. We're doing well. But where's the faith? Read the creed and get it right. Hold it fast with all your might. Close the door and bolt it tight. We've no need for further light. But where's the faith? Build the church and make it grow. Cushioned pews in classic row. Made for comfort. We love so. Come in, relax. Enjoy the show. But where's the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? No matter who gives your opinion as well as your own thoughts, they are valueless except for their weight based on the authority of the Word of God. And remember that as we go over this very sensitive topic. And we're going to ask a threefold question. It's in Hebrews chapter 2. Threefold question. What would you fill in that blank, afraid to what? Anybody? Huh? Die. Afraid to die. Hebrews chapter 2. My assignment today is to remove the question marks. Hopefully we can remove the question marks by answering the question. Thrice. Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's begin at verse number 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Talking about Jesus. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. See, the best is yet to come. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, took on human flesh, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, he's our captain, perfect through sufferings. It was complete. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We're his brothers. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He's testifying of his Father to us. My Father is now your Father. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, we're sons of God, brethren. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. This is an exposition of Christ becoming flesh to die for our sins, so he could become the captain of our salvation, and that he would have the right to reign over a redeemed world that was cursed. that, now look, this is what I want you to see, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. All powers given unto me, Jesus Christ. But the devil said, look at all this. I've got power over this. He has to get permission. Jesus has the permission. So he says, him that had the power of death, that is who? You ever the Grim Reaper? There's something spooky. Even the name's got spookiness to it, you know? Had the power of death, that is the devil. Now look at this. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It has to do with the fear of death. It's completely natural. And we're going to look at a bunch of verses. You could turn to Mark chapter 4. But they tell me the 10 of the most, and it's up, it's you know, somewhat subjective, it's up to debate, but 10 of the most all-time greatest fears people have involve, you know, holes, fear of holes, which is called trypophobia, or flying, aerophobia, or germs, mysophobia, or claustrophobia, the small spaces, and cynophobia, the fear of dogs, or astrophobia, the fear of thunder and lightning, agoraphobia, the fear of open, you get on and on and on. The top one, believe it or not, is arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. I mean, that's why I don't think it's subjective, because if you ask me, I mean, one of them that should be in there is galeophobia, the fear of sharks. I think that just trumps some of these things. But what's interesting is they all tangent off of, in a peculiar way, they tangent off of fear of death. Amen? I mean, if it's a, you know, a marshmallow spider, it's not really a big deal. You know what I mean? Because he can't come things unless you're done. Amen? Because it can't, it has to do with, you know, would you be afraid of a plane if it couldn't crash? Amen? You know, it all has to do with, death is connected to these phobias. But we're not looking at so much the focus of fear as a phobia. We're looking at a universal fear that in today's society it's been suppressed and supplanted with what I consider a bunch of nonsense fears, comparatively speaking, to occupy and thwart our concept of what reality is. They did, for an example, they did a 2022-2023 question survey recently, what people in America fear the most. Corrupt government officials, nuclear weapons, somebody I love dying, America becoming part of a third world war, drinking polluted water, not having enough money for the future, financial collapse, pollution of oceans, biological warfare. See, not that I'm saying, not that they don't have any depth of reason that makes them, you know, I got it, I know why you're afraid of it. But brother, that's not what you should really be occupied with fearing. What is the greatest fear you and I should have? Fear of what? Huh? Which would involve a fear of what? What's the beginning of wisdom? It's fear of God. Nothing greater than a fear of God. Amen? These are manufactured fears. They're manipulated. They exploit people. And you know that it's one... And I don't care what anybody, if you got the jab or you wear, what your things are, mask or COVID, all that. People were manipulated. It was an experiment to some degree. You even see today people walking outside of the car by themselves with a mask on. What that is fear. Something happened to their mind. And then you trace that back and you realize there was an everyday count tally. So-and-so died, so-and-so died, so-and-so died, and so-and-so died, and another person. People are dying today just like they were back then. Amen? This was to cause and create a fear in people. What was the fear of? Death. Amen? It wasn't really COVID. I know I'm not being insensitive to the million-plus people that died of COVID, but... You know, people are still dying today, amen? And more than just of COVID. Now, the question we want to ask today is, afraid to die. It's a bondage that God wants us to be liberated from. We want to remove the question marks I want to give you some scriptures to help you recognize this in Mark chapter 4. Because we're going to ask two questions that merge into three. Amen? We'll see it as we go through it. Mark chapter 4. Why do you die? And what happens to you if you die if you're not a believer? And what happens to you if you die if you're a believer? Afraid to die. We're going to erase those questions. He tells us this in Mark chapter 4. Now, you don't have to turn to these verses. Write them down or listen to them or listen to the scriptures I read to you. But it's not unnatural. Amen? It's not an unnatural question. What's most important is the answer. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38. And here's Jesus. There's a great storm. He's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. This is during a storm, on a ship, you know. And they awake him. And they say, these are the disciples, the apostles. They say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What are they afraid of? Dying. So it's not unnatural. And he unrose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, see, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's got power over the power that Satan has that will keep people in bondage to die. God's power is to liberate you. He doesn't want to keep you in control and bondage. To use the opposite. That's what you saw happen and still see happening with COVID. It's a manipulation to put people in bondage. They're so afraid and petrified of dying. And all these new things, here's something else to worry about, something else to be afraid of, and it's keeping your mind of understanding what you should really be afraid of. That's what we want to see, afraid to die. And as long as you don't know what you should really be afraid of, properly understanding it, you are in bondage. Amen? In whatever way, we've all got these masks that you're putting on that show, man, you're still in bondage. Amen? Because, I mean, would you not agree that life is made to live? Death is an invader. It's a cruel imposter. It becomes an accuser that Satan uses to accuse God of fairness and truth. And it can only be understood if it's interpreted by the truth. The truth shall make you free. You've got all these coping mechanisms that people have to manage this fear, afraid to die. I'm not mocking it, belittling it. I'm just saying that we want to erase the question marks, brother. We have a different perspective of death if you're a believer. And so there's some people, I don't want to suffer when I die. I mean, so it's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. Who wants to suffer when you die? That's why I'm partly afraid of sharks. I mean, I think about it. So what did I do is I did some open water swims. And I, you know, within a couple hundred yards of sharks, amen? I mean, you know, some people are afraid of Friday the 13th or that Michael fellow on those movies. I'm petrified of airplanes. So I've gone on them. I don't like it, amen? I start hyperventilating when I'm on an airplane at times. And it's not the plane. It's the dying, amen? The Lord says, what are you afraid of? And I have to put a check on myself. Afraid to die, there's people that want to be alone. They're afraid to die. I mean, because they're going to be alone. Because let me tell you, when you die, you and I do not really know what being alone is till it's time to die. Ain't nobody walking that road with you. Not when it comes to the point where you have to cross to the other side. Ain't nobody doing that. Nobody's doing that. Afraid to die. I don't want to be alone, man. Amen? That's why, you know, elevators and closets and staying single. You know, it's like the issue really involves death. People have white noise and loud music and cell phones. People have all these selfies. They're not really selfies because they post them for everybody to see them. It's kind of an oxymoron. What is it they want? They want to be accepted. They want to be known and recognized and loved. Amen? Boy, if we could only understand the answer to this question, we wouldn't be afraid anymore. Because you don't have to be alone when you die. If the Bible becomes the interpretation of your thoughts on this subject, amen? I mean, afraid of dying. It could be scary, spooky. I mean, afraid of the unknown. We're all afraid to some degree of the unknown, the boogeyman. I mean, we all got our blankets to protect us from the boogeyman, even though they can't. Amen. You go under, I'm under my blanket, everything's cool. You could be a grown adult. Get under your blanket, everything's cool, man. Ain't nothing going to happen. I got my blanket. Amen, Brother John. We still got those superstitions. Amen. This is the ultimate challenge to our faith. Death. It's a pretty powerful, dark place. Amen. The Grim Reaper isn't just a cartoon character or a tattoo. Amen. He's somebody that the devil uses. I'm going to kill you. And God says, you ain't going to kill nobody unless I give you permission. And you just read the book of Job and you'll see that to be just so. Amen. Jesus is the reason for the season. And as long as you and I keep us in Jesus, you're going to be okay. Amen. You got all these things. Wouldn't it be great if we could answer this death question and remove the question mark? Get rid of all the psychological anxieties and learned behaviors and whatever anybody else said. Let's look at the Bible. Can we look at the Bible? I'm going to give you an illustration to help you understand this. What is this I'm holding in my hand? What is it?
A target.
It's a target bag. I didn't think you'd know that. Okay, well, it is a target bag. It's a target bag. What is inside of it? There is something inside of it. But could you possibly know what's inside of it? Well, I know what's inside of it. I'm going to share with you what's inside of it. This is what's inside of it. Now, do you know what this is right here? I mean, you don't know what it is, but if you had to, you could use it for something. I mean, it could be. You could use it for something that has a purpose. But is that what it's really meant for? You don't know what it's really meant for. So its purpose you can't really understand. It's kind of like a scroll. If you could open up, you could know what it's meant for. Well, I know what it's meant for. You know why? Because I know the manufacturer. I know who made it. If you know who made it, you can know what it was meant for. You can understand the purpose. Amen. What the world runs on. Amen. Oh, look. There's a verse of scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Let's see what the world really runs on. He upholds all things by the word of his what? Power. Matthew 10, 28. You see, once you know what this is, it's like, wow, man, I can actually drink a cup of coffee because of this. I don't have to be afraid to die because of this. Look at it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Because God is the one who commanded death to be part of life. It's inescapable. Matthew 10, verse 28. What's its purpose? Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body. See, that's the focus of all these phobias. That's the focus of all these things and current events. Oh my God, man, Ukraine and more money. My taxes are going to go up and oil, the price of oil per barrel. Who cares? Amen? Do you really care? Now, I got it. Eggs cost a lot of money and we're an egg-eating family, but my wife's getting ready to get a couple chickens, right? There's ways. Amen? Matthew 10, 28. Let's open the scroll. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill what? This is what matters. People are afraid of all these things. And no, there's never a newspaper with the headlines, "Are you ready to meet God?" When's the last time anybody's ever read that on a newspaper? On a billboard. On a billboard is great. That's a Christian that understands this. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. So a fear of death, God will use a fear of death to bring us to the awareness, to face the greatest granddaddy of all fears, the fear of dying. That's what he uses funerals for. He forces people to soberly think about, I got to get through this funeral and be patient, you know, okay. And it's, but somewhere along that time span, they're thinking about dying themselves. He says, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body, where? In hell. See that? God is going to use death. The cause of death is sin. And God is going to destroy death. That's what Jesus Christ did. So that you could be free from the fear of death. Afraid to die? Let's look at the first question. Why do you die? I'm going to give you 9 things for each of the points. First, look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Just so you understand this. People are ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. And Christians can become ignorant. They're always saying, why did God kill? Why did God do this bad thing? And it's like, why are you blaming God? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number, so we just get it straight, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. When he says asleep, he's talking about, you ever see somebody in a casket? They look like they're sleeping. They're dead. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand why they're dead. In John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And verse 35, Jesus what? No, this has nothing to do with insensitivity or coldness. Death is cold. Your response to it doesn't have to be cold. But what it shouldn't be is afraid. Afraid to die. Question, it involves being ignorant. Let's understand, why do you die? Because if you don't understand, you could become angry, bitter, resentful towards God. You don't understand. Loved ones that die, sometimes younger than what you would consider being a full life. Oh, they lived a full life. You were meant to live for eternity. None of us have really lived the fullness of life that God wants us to. Amen? You're going to need eternal life. So why is it? Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. This is why there's death. It's an invader. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's why. The wages of sin is death. He tells us in Romans 5, verse 12. For as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. This is why there's death. Because of sin. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse number 27. Why do you die? Because God judges sin. Because God's holy. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto men, how often to die? Once to die. And after this, the what? So this judgment follows a lifetime opportunity to make a decision on whether or not your faith chooses to believe, based on the evidence of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ indeed is both the resurrection and the life. Amen? For you to see it and then others to see it in you as a result of a true living faith. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be afraid to die. Doesn't mean there isn't a respect that it's due, render honor to whom honor is due. I'm just going to play with death. Why should you die before your time? That's foolish. Amen? Luke chapter 12, verse 49 and 51. But I know that Jesus Christ ultimately has the power over Satan's power over death. Why? Because he went to the cross. He killed death. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 to 51. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose I came into this world to being priest, but rather division. Jesus Christ said, I came in here to die for man's sins. It's a baptism of death, of suffering. Can't wait till it's over. Amen? So sin and the eternal curse of sin that results in death can be no more. Revelation 22, there's a date. There's not going to be, death is only temporary, brother. It's over in a little while. Amen? The curse is going to be gone. Christ says, I can't wait to put death to death. Amen? And it'll be over. That's why he came. In Amos chapter 4, verse number 12. I'm just going to give you the verses. We open the scroll. I know the manufacturer. Amen? I know why. Amos chapter 4, verse number 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. I know why you're going to die, because of sin. Look in Genesis chapter 2. And so death, knowing why you're going to die, death is God's means of preparing us to meet him, because after you die, you're going to be judged. As a believer, it's not to determine whether you're saved or not, but you're still going to be judged. Look at this in Genesis chapter 2. This is why people die. Because of what? Because of unbelief. Because God can't look upon sin. Because God has to judge sin. It's his nature. You're going to ask God to be who he isn't? Well, guess what? He can't be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt not surely die, the serpent says, the lie of Satan. Denying death. You can't. It doesn't work that way. You're going to die, brethren. And God uses it to prepare you to meet him. You have a choice of what you believe or don't believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And there's these constant reminders. It's not morbid. You know, I don't hang out in cemeteries. I don't watch Dracula movies all the time. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. It's not that. It's Ecclesiastes. Who does it talk about the person dying? That wisdom giveth life to them. I don't have the verse. It might be chapter 3, verse 12. 17. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? No, it has to do with seeing somebody going to it. It's a funeral. And I don't have the right 7-2. Let me see 7-2. It is better to go into a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. That's it right there. Lay it to his heart. When people go to funerals, they think about death. And God says, think about death. You know why you're going to die? Because of sin. And it's appointed on a man wants to die, and you're going to be judged. Think about it. All these things that occupy your mind in life, living, all these things that create fears in life, dying, amen, you're going to meet me, amen, and you're going to give account to me, and sin will not survive in my presence, amen. And the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want people to die in their sins. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he cares for us. Over 60 some odd million people died in 2022. 2 to 3 people die every single second. We only care about people that die who are close to us. Any one of us in here that passes on, it would have an effect on the rest of the body, because we've been touched by each other. The proximity of our small little circle of life, the orb that we connect with on the circumference of our interactions, amen? And the closer it comes to the center of that circle called I, amen, the more impact it has. And the most impact it'll have is when it's you. that God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You care the closer it gets to you. There's more impact. There's more sincerity in requesting people to pray in behalf, so on and so forth. The tears are deeper. The heart is torn closer to the reality of the meaning that, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's not just, well, you're dying as a judgment directly for your sin. We've all inherited a nature of sin that requires all of us to die. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong. This world is cursed and broken. Jesus Christ and Him alone can fix it. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is why we die. Adam and Eve sinned. And the result of that, every one of their kids died after them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God cares about every one of us. There's people dying in India today. Anybody here shed a tear? I don't touch you. It's the reality. We don't have the ability to love people we don't know that don't touch our lives. A neighbor dies. Person in school, you graduated in a different year than you. Amen. Different homeroom, whatever the case may be. You know, somebody that you're not aware of. Oh, a movie star so-and-so died. Why does that matter? Because we saw them. They touched our lives. That's how it works. But God cares for every one of them, and God cares for every one of you and me. He cares. Casting. So why not put the cares about our lives and our death upon God's shoulders? And just a suggestion. Put the subject of death onto Christ. Why? He died for your sins. That's why you died. That's why He died. Amen? What did He do? He died for our sins. Amen? It's important to get that. So let's look at the two other, let's remove these other two question marks. You die because of sin. Let's look at what happens when you die. That's whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. Why you die. We remove that question mark. From the Bible perspective, what happens when you die? Gee, I don't know. Well, maybe you don't. That's okay, but you can. You can know when you die. You can know to the extent that God, this is as an unbeliever, that God gives you revelation in His Word, and then you don't think this is an important topic? It's the most important topic in your life. I don't care what you fail in life. I don't care what relationship you have with people you love. If you don't tell them what happens when they die, why they die, what happens, if you don't give them that warning, then woe is you. Then you failed as a parent. Somebody you love, you failed as a friend, as a sibling. Then you failed if you didn't share with them this information. It doesn't have to be a sermon the way I'm delivering it to you. But to show them why you die and what happens when you die. Let's go through this. Amen. Look in James chapter 2. Now, as we go through this sequence, it's going to become very clear and obvious something's different if you're a believer versus a non-believer. But up until the point you die, it's the same. Here you are, you're here. You're breathing and you're living and your heart's beating and you're thinking and you're cognitive, all that, and you're going to think what you're going to do, so and so. James chapter 2, verse 26. This is what happens when you die. Afraid to die? Well, we know why we die. And here's the next question. What happens when you die? James 2, verse 26. Well, I don't believe. You don't have to. I'm telling you what the Bible says. James 2, 26. For as the body without the spirit is what? Is dead. So faith without works is dead also. It's going a parallel there to show you. It's not living faith if there aren't works. If your heart stops working. If your brain stops working. Your body stops, or the body without the spirit. Spirit is like wind, it's breath. Amen? You look at somebody, they stop dying. You know, people that train in the movies, if they're going to make believe they're dead, they got to stop breathing. Or breathe really softly. So it looks like, well, their heart isn't beating. That's what they're trying to do, to show you. They're dead. That's what you recognize. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter. So the spirit leaves the body. Okay? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. When somebody dies, and you see that, this is where science can only bring you to, yep, they're dead. They can't tell you what happens when you die beyond that. It's metaphysics, man. Science has to bow to the feet of faith revealed by the Word of God. It has to. James chapter 2. Whether you believe it or not, that's your choice. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast. You ever see a dead squirrel on the ground? Or a raccoon or a skunk? Or a bird? Even one thing befalleth them. They're dying. What do you notice? They're not moving. Something that was inside of them isn't there anymore. It's just a body. So what you're recognizing is that you are more. Your life is more than a body. You recognize that. Science recognizes that, but it can't take you any further. So he says, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. The body without the spirit is dead. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is what? All is vanity. All go on to one place. It's your body. All are of the dust. The Bible says, the worms shall feed sweetly on thee. The book of Job. That's what your body is. It's worm food. Some of us are more worm food than Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward? So your spirit goes up. The Bible talks about somebody dies, they give up the ghost. You don't give down the ghost. The spirit goes up because that's the life that God gave every one of us. Your life is a gift of God. The spark of life is a gift from God. Amen? Look at it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, the spirit can depart from the body and you're not dead. So what happens? The spirit leaves the body. And then, poof, it separates. It's severed. The Bible says it's cut off. So a person can leave their body and have an out-of-body experience. Anybody ever read anything like that? I was clinically dead. They said I would know. You weren't biblically dead until your soul, your spirit was cut off. It was severed. That's what happened with it. It's like they left. They're gone. It's Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse 6 and 7. What happens? This is what happens when you die. You stop breathing. Body stops functioning. It's going to go into the grave. Looks like you're sleeping. Your spirit severed from your body. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. Or ever this is quite a poetic description of aging into the finality of death. Or ever the silver cord, you know, it's like there's an umbilical cord for a child, there's a silver cord. Be loosed. Or the golden bowl, because as if there's something that needs to be redeemed before that silver cord is cut. It's Christ and his life. But anyways, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. So when this silver cord is loose, what's happening is, look at Isaiah 53, verse 8. You're being cut off. That's the biblical terminology. So it's possible for a person to leave outside their body and that cord not to be cut off. The moment it's cut off, you are biblically dead. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, talking about Christ, was taken from prison in judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. It was cut off, see? Out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was his spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. See that? In Daniel chapter 9, I think it is. Let me look. Daniel chapter 9, talking about the Messiah. Daniel chapter 9, he says, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, that would be prophetic. If you go into the dating of this, it's right around 33 AD. Anybody knows who was cut off? 33 AD? Then he says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah, you mean Jesus, the Messiah, 33 AD, would be what? cut off. He would die. What happens? The spirit goes up. The spirit leaves the body. Boom, and it's cut off. Amen? That's what happens when you die. It's going to be cut off. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what Paul is speaking of. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Listen, I don't want to brag, guys, but something happened to me that hasn't happened to many people. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man, it was him, but he doesn't say it like that. I knew a man in Christ, a saved person, above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to what? The third heaven. There's three heavens. There's a heaven where the birdies and the clouds and the kites fly. Amen? There's another heaven where the stars and the moon and all that kind of business is. Then there's a heaven beyond that, the heaven of heavens, which is God's abode. And you ain't getting there unless you cross through a door or a window that lets you go into another dimension, because we could never make it there. Amen? Well, this is what he's talking about. Paul says, I went there. I saw it. Amen? And there was something, there was still consciousness. There was, the Bible talks about, was it in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. What happens when you die? Well, you leave your body. Your spirit is severed. It's cut off. Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. You know, you got to think about it. You know, he died. How old was David when he died? Nobody ate cleaner, drank cleaner, breathed cleaner air, water, food than David. It's all everything was organic. You couldn't buy non-organic stuff. Amen. When it said, a cheeseburger, it was a cheeseburger. It was a chocolate chip cookie, it was a chocolate chip cookie. You know what I'm saying? Amen. It wasn't a list of things that has nothing to do with a chocolate chip cookie. Amen. It was as organic. When he said water, there was no chlorine, there was no fluoride, there was no all this other garbage in there. When it was oxygen, it was breathing. It wasn't all this cloud dust that's up in the sky dripping down on you and I with aluminum that you're breathing, amen? And he died at 70 years old. The Bible says he lived a full life. And he says, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off. And what do we do? I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. That's what it is, amen? You and I, there's a song associated with death. Not for unbelievers, amen? What happens when they die? Look at it in Luke chapter 12. The body goes in the ground. The spirit of life goes back to God that gave it. He's the source of that power. We're all on battery power. Some of us have stronger batteries than others. Luke chapter 12. What's remaining? We're a trinity, so we're a body goes in the grave. Don't listen to what anybody tells you. There is no annihilation. The Jehovah's Witnesses tell you. You either go to heaven or hell. That's it. There's no purgatory that a Roman Catholic, you believe whatever you want. Amen? I mean, some of us would be paying for sins forever anyways if we went to purgatory. But there's no purgatory. There's no annihilation. There's no baptism for the dead that the Mormons teach. Like if you die, somebody can get baptized in your place so that you could still be saved. Amen? Just pay, say, listen, when I die, do me a favor. You know, you give them a little hanky-panky money. There's no reincarnation that, and what's the worst that could happen? I come back as a worm or a grasshopper or a shark? It's all not, it don't work like that, man. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, to judgment. You got all these religions that teach you there's these second opportunity. This is your opportunity. You're alive. God presents to you the message of salvation. He answers the question of all things you should be afraid of. Fear him which can destroy both soul and body. Where? In hell. Look at it in Luke chapter 12, verse number 20. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, here's a guy, he's rich, he's got money, he's got barns, he's got all kinds. What am I going to do now? I got this. What am I going to do now? I'm going to build another barn so I can put this in this. What am I going to do? I'm going to build another barn. And he says in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this judgment. Well, it's not his body, it's not his spirit, it's his soul. The most precious thing you have is your soul. Amen? Fear him, which can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so he says, so there's an accountability. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou provide? Look what he calls him. He calls him a fool because he made a wrong choice. See, you could go to a funeral, no matter who is officiating a funeral or your funeral. A eulogy cannot put someone into heaven. You have to make a conscious decision to believe or not believe what this book said. If you got something better, fine. Could you please share it with me? Because I don't know nobody that ever conquered death except Jesus Christ. I think God made it simple so that we wouldn't go to hell unless there was a hidden motive in our heart that doesn't want to repent of a certain sin. There ain't nothing worth going to hell over, man. Nothing. And so what happens is your body goes here, your spirit goes there, and the soul goes somewhere. This is an unbeliever. You know where the soul goes? It's in Luke 16. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 16 is the great story. But it's a parable. It's not a parable. When it's a parable, God says it's a parable. When it's a true story, he uses names like Lazarus, like a certain rich man who lived sumptuously. Isn't that the word he uses? I love that word. This is a cool word. Yeah, you got to live some. Look at the trade-off. You could be famous and popular and have money and get invited to all these book tours and these parties, and everybody's going to like you and love you, woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you. Amen? What does God think of you? But I want, and he lives sumptuously, and he dies, and he goes to where? He goes to hell. He dies. The Bible says he openeth his eyes, and he is not. So the spirit leaves the body, the soul is severed, the spirit and the soul, it's severed, and the spirit flies away to God, and the soul goes down to hell, an unbeliever, because he died in his sins. Amen? If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so that man finds himself, he opens his eyes, and it's like, my body. And he wakes up in hell. And you know what's in hell? People don't want to hear it. The Bible talks about fire. Talks about worms, talks about devils, talks about torments, talks about smoke, talks about weeping and wailing, it talks about forever, it talks about memories, haunting someone for all eternity, thou in thy lifetime chose not to believe. What a stupid, that's why he calls him a fool. What a stupid trade-off to lose your soul. It's the most precious thing. Who do you love that doesn't know Jesus? Amen? Afraid to die? They've been manipulated into desensitizing and callousing the most important thing they should be afraid of. The God who's going to judge them. Amen? God, help us to recognize that. We need to be the conscience of those that are conscience killers. Amen, Brother John. Amen. He dies. He asks for a drip. Can't you just give me a drip? Dip his finger in that water. Now, you ever think about that water in hell? How water and eternal fires in hell? How do they don't mix? That's supernatural water. He can't even have a drop of that water. That water's coming from the throne of God, brother. That water's eternal life. That's the water of life. He gives him one drop of that water. He'll be saved. He'll be forever refreshed. He can't even have a drop. It's for you and I. Amen. It comes from the throne of God. That's not regular water, man. Amen. In hell with the fury fire of God's wrath. Oh, there's fire in hell. You don't think there's fire in hell? Well, I'll tell you what. There's fire in the center of the earth. I don't believe in hell. What do you believe in the center of the earth? When volcanoes erupt, what comes out of volcanoes? Ice cubes? Glaciers? Snow? Fire. Fire that has the ability to melt rock so it pours out like liquid. That's hot stuff, man. This is what it is. People don't want to hear that. My objective isn't to frighten you into unbelief. It's to frighten you out of unbelief. Amen? And what follows hell is Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, that people are resurrected that are in hell, and they stand before God, and their books not being found in the book of life are cast into stand before the great white throne, and they're cast into a lake of fire. COVID is not the death people should fear. Eternal death is the death people should fear. Universalism, reincarnation, purgatory, annihilation, all these different concepts that you're going to get another chance. No, you're not. Why? Because you've already had another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. And the Spirit of God deals with people. You don't have to be in church for the Spirit of God to be dealing with you. Amen, Brother Johnny, amen. Try to pinch and slap people into woke reality, the woke reality that God is alive and he don't sleep. You gonna die, man. Amen. No black and white to it. No female and male to it. You're gonna die. And if you don't believe the gospel, you're gonna die in your sins. God Almighty, I have family members that aren't saved. Amen. May my life be a light that shines in the darkness, to the blind eyes that don't see the reality and the importance of answering this question in such a way that the question mark is erased. By the way, afraid to die? You can have a deathbed conversion. There's a thief next to Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, Lord, remember me. Remember me. When thou enterest into thy kingdom today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You can have a deathbed conversion or not. Voltaire, aggressive atheist, speaking about Jesus Christ, one time said, curse the wretch. In 20 years, Christianity will be no more. My single hand will destroy the religion. It took 12 apostles to lead. Ha, 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 on his deathbed. The nurse that attended Voltaire, I've been told, she said he told her, for all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another atheist die. I'm abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you give me 6 months more of life. Then I shall go to hell and you will go with me. Oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. What a miserable way to die. He didn't answer that question. Amen? Not the right way. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray. Too busy to speak out kindly to someone who passes the way. Too busy working and worrying to think of the life to come. Too busy building earthly mansions to plan for the heaven above. Too busy to help a brother who faces the trials and suffering woes. Too busy to share his burden. No time. I'm busy, you know. Too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky. Too busy to serve the master, but not too busy to die. All that hate me, the Bible says, love death. Come on, brethren. It's like, you know, maybe I'll read the Bible. Maybe I'll. And it all just becomes flippant. Church becomes a game. Amen. God help you. I tell people, if this church ain't a church you're getting fed at, find one you are. Because it's serious business. Afraid to die? What happens when you die? Amen. Why do you die? What happens when you die if you're an unbeliever? What happens when you die if you're a believer? What happens? Well, Chrysostom told about his fate. He was going to be martyred, the golden mouth of the Reformation. What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life and that I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all its fullness is the Lord's. Will it be the loss of wealth? But we brought nothing into the world and can carry nothing out. Thus all the terrors of the world are contemptible in my eyes, and I smile at all its good things. Poverty I do not fear, riches I do not sigh for, death I do not shrink away from. Afraid to die? Let's remove the final question mark by answering. What happens when you die, if you're a believer? Psalms 116. It's so good to be saved. Thank you for coming to church today. Psalms 119, verse 116, verse 15. Oh, a loving God, I can't believe he would say, no, God doesn't send people to hell that don't choose not to believe how to not go to hell. No, God doesn't just, you're going to hell. I don't like you. You are going to hell. Over there, baby, you're going to hell too. over there, you're going to hell. Oh, Holy Ghost, roll the die. Boom, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, you're going to hell. Doesn't work like that, brother. Amen. He prepared hell for what? The devil and his angels. People choose to believe or not to believe. In Psalms 1, chapter 16, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is what? Whew. So here you are. Your body's getting ready to die. The spirit's leaving the body. It's severed. You're cut off. The spirit's going to go. The body's still going to go to grave. The spirit's going to go. Precious. Precious child. Precious child. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. Are you a saint? I didn't say, do you act like a saint? Do you live like a saint? Are you sanctified because Jesus Christ saved your soul? And the saints that are at Corinth, I don't think we're that bad. I don't, maybe we are, but Psalm 23, verse 4. What happens when you die? God's going to welcome you home, man. You are precious. He's been waiting. God, it's not like, I can't wait till you die. I can't wait till you come home. Amen? Psalm chapter number 23, verse number 4. It's good to be saved. Glory to God. You know, this is what the Bible talks about. We don't weep the way other people weep. Mourning's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Jesus Christ mourned over, you know, over his friend Lazarus. But it was only in two words. And I realize, you know, it takes, when do you stop mourning over the death of someone you love? But there has to be morning light in the midst of morning darkness. There's two kinds of mourning. You've got to rejoice. Why? Because afraid to die? If he's a believer, if she's a believer, if a mother, a father, a child, a friend was a believer, it's a whole nother story. Because when that thing is cut off, Psalm chapter 23, look at it, as you're dying. Yea, look at the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou precious art with me. Don't you want to be with someone? I can't work. My mother and father's gonna die anytime. I gotta be with them. I wanna be there. I wanna hold their hand. I want to remind them that I'm still there. I love them. If they can see my eyes, if they can hear anything in my voice, they can feel the warmth of the heartbeat through my fingers. I want them to know that I love them. I want to be there. For thou, brethren, well, you know what's going to happen? I'm telling you what's going to happen when you die. God's going to be right there to meet you. But I don't sense it now. Why? Because you're not dying right now. Amen. You don't need dying grace till it's time to die. Amen? And then he's going to be right there. Amen? He's going to be right there. Because he loves you, man. He's going to be there before anybody's there. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 11. He can't wait. He always gives us this tantalizing hope. It's not a false hope. But he gives us hope that we might be one of the ones. That's one of the ones of 1% point something. Amen. It's what? That never die. Hebrews 11 verse 5. But something tells me that, you know, I want to go on that roller coaster ride. Because if you're part of the rapture, and I want to be part of the rapture, mostly because I'm selfish. And even though I believe that, I kind of don't. There's a roller coaster ride. Whoa! He's going to meet us. He's going to sit right next to us, tandem. Put the seatbelts on, Brother John. Why? Because we're going for a ride. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. Don't tell me translations can't be perfect. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found. People's looking for him. What happened to Enoch, man? They're going to be looking for us. Because God hath translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen? Isn't that something? There's somebody that never dies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What happens when you die? Your body goes to the ground, your spirit goes up, and your soul, it's severed. And your soul is immediately going to be in the presence of God. Let's look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just a few more weary days and then... 1 Corinthians 15. I'll fly away. 1 Corinthians 15. Who sings those kind of songs? You ever been to a Muslim church and they're singing those kind of songs? No, you know, they're the poetic sound of Arabic, and as they read the, you know, the Quran and the Hadith and all that kind of, it's like, no, man, I'll take just a few more weary days and then I'll take that, amen. First Corinthians 15. Look at verse 52. In a moment, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, right here, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on mortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy... There's a young fellow driving with his father in the car. And a bee came in the car, and the son was, he was allergic to bees. He didn't want to say, a bee. And the father said, don't worry. And he grabbed and he caught the bee. Then he opened his hand and he said, and the bee was walking on his hand. And the bee said, no, don't worry. And he just flicked the bee off and opened the window and fled out. And he said, look at my hand. See that hole right there? I took the sting for you. Glory to God. He took the sting for us, brother. Amen? What does it say right there? Where is thy sting, O death? That's our Savior. Look at the holes in his hands. This is wonderful to recognize and to understand. Death is swallowed up in victory. Look at it in 2 Corinthians 5. You know what happens when you die? God takes the sting out of death. He meets you with the grace you need, dying grace, when it's time to die. He said, I've been waiting for you, man. Why? You're one of mine. Yeah, but I don't feel, I'll tell you, I don't care anymore. I got six kids and I love them all the same. Whether or not they choose to have a relationship with me is up to them. They're the ones missing. But I love them all the same. 2 Corinthians, and I will never stop loving them. It's God with you and I. Whether or not you choose to have a relationship with him, well, that's you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look what he says. This is wonderful. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. We're almost done. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. Body leaves. Soul leaves the body. Spirit, soul leaves the body. Spirit goes to heaven. God cuts it off. Be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. Immediately, instantaneously, in the presence of God, God will bring with him those that have died. Look at Philippians chapter 1. You know what happens when you die? You, as a believer, you don't go into hell and not be allowed to drink. You go up to heaven. You have as much water as you want. 1 Corinthians chapter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two. It's like, you know, I can't decide. I'll let God decide. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is what? Oh, my loved one died. They're in a far better place. I know you're mourning. I know it's like, but they're in a far better place. They would not want to come back here. You know that because that's what Samuel said. What are you doing, man? I was having a great time with the Lord in paradise. And you want me to come back to this? I did my time. Amen. He said, depart and be with Christ. Well, we're a spectacle. You don't think the possibilities they can see from heaven down here? John's all the time saying, I saw on earth. I saw this happen and this happened. You don't think they can't intervene? You don't think your loved ones could ever, God never gives them the opportunity to see? I do. John was able to see. Amen. And he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Oh, well, if I have to, I'll do what I got to do. That's what he's saying. Amen. I mean, don't you ever wish you could understand the language of flowers? I do. We planted 100 flowers or so in front of our tulips first time. They're all popping up. It's like, oh my God, they're going to die. They're going to die. They're not worried one single bit. Amen. They're better than that. What's that animal? They're better than that predicting the springtime. Than what? Groundhogs. Better than groundhogs, man. They knew. They knew 3 weeks ago. It's time. No more snow coming here. I'm going to show you a few more verses we're going to cut. Open your eyes. John 14, verses 1 to 3. What happens if you're a believer? You're going to be with the Lord. You're going to open your eyes. He's going to bring you into his glorious presence. We're going to see sound, see colors we never saw before. We're going to hear sound. People get cataracts and say, man, I never knew how beautiful colors were. Wait till we get to heaven. Amen? God's got a Cadillac versus cataracts. Amen? You're going to see what you've never seen before. He says in John chapter 14, don't you understand that the devil is doing everything he can to counterfeit the glories of heaven on earth? You know, built-in pools, crystal water, perfect plastic bodies, you know, lots of money, no worries of banks, a car you could drive around in, no more debt. Money means nothing, no debt, all this privacy. But that's called heaven. Amen? Counterfeited on earth. In John chapter 14, he says in verse 1, let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. If you die before the rapture, you're going to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. There's a mansion waiting for you, brother, for me. Amen? I've got a mansion. We've got something to sing about, something to share about. Amen? Jesus Christ said, the Bible says, why seek ye the living among the dead? I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Amen? Just imagine if you had shark powers. If I had supernatural shark powers, there ain't a shark in the world I'd be afraid of. I'd just punch him. Flick him in the face. You know what I mean? I'd laugh at him. Get away from me, shark. I'd talk in... God give me shark language if I got shark powers. Amen? What if you had supernatural spider powers? Would you be afraid of a spider? If you had supernatural, you know, airplane powers? I get scared of, I wouldn't be scared at all if I had supernatural airplane powers. Amen? What if you had supernatural death powers? Well, you do. Amen? Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen? All power is given unto me. Two other verses I'm going to show you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and then one more. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. You see, brother? Afraid to die? Why do you die? What happens when you die? Well, if you're a believer, it's going to be better than you can imagine. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart. Just for an exercise. Try to imagine how beautiful heaven must be. And you can't. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither had entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them. Glory to God. Don't tell me it's not good to be saved. Thank you for coming to church today. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, please choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. The last verse to turn to is 1 Corinthians 15. Afraid to die? John Wesley, full of the assurance, he walked with God, as full assurance as you could be. Amen? He said, the best of all is God is with us. I'm talking about death. The great evangelist D.L. Moody, he said, one day you will read in the newspapers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive in that day than ever before. And on his deathbed, he said, earth recedes. Heaven, it's opening before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me. I must go. Amen? You say, what is that? That's what happens when you die if you're a believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're closing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Ain't it good to be saved? Amen. There's a fellow who was a rascal, notoriously bad, Orville Gardner. He was so bad they called him Awful Gardner. He's just mean. would always go in and out of saloons, get drunk, do all kinds of bad things. He had a little boy that died. The boy died, went outside from the saloons, drinking himself drunk and silly, but he wasn't silly. He looked up to the sky and the stars. Am I ever going to see my boy again? Amen. The thought came to his mind, he's never going to see his son again unless there can be a change in his life. Amen. He ran, left the bar, went right to his God. He had a godly mother and said, Mommy, I need to get saved. I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. She led him to Christ. He went right to his house and got a jug of whiskey. And he said, I'm not going to keep this whiskey. I don't want Mike to go back to it. He took it, went to the river, had a little paddle boat, got a paddle boat, went to an island across the river, rode across the river, took that liquor bottle, dumped out the liquor that was in it, took the bottle, dug a hole, and buried the liquor bottle, went back to his house. He said, man, God, I can't wait to see my son again. Amen? So what happened? He was a brand new man. He was changed. And that's just the beginning of the change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what happens when you die? You look forward to death. Amen? That's what Jesus Christ did before he went to the cross. Can't wait to be back with your Father. Because he knew what was on the other side. Amen? He still had something to do to accomplish. So do you. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm still here. People in the world, friends, family, loved ones, people, you still have a purpose and a need for being here. That is why you're here. 1 Corinthians 15, 31, last verse we're going to look at. Paul says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Paul, they say Paul was a crazy man. Over there in the book of Acts, looked to me like he got stoned, looked stoned to death. They dragged him out of the city, stoned to death. And he said, that's where it's probably where he says, whether they're in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God brought me up to heaven. I saw it. I came right back again. As soon as he came back again, you know what he did? He got up all bloody and bruised and beaten and eyes swollen. He got right back. You know what he did? He ran right back into that town. Go ahead, man. Amen. Crazy Paul. I die daily. He saw the beauty and understanding that death is an open door to meet the Lord. Amen. To be with him forever. There's a story of a man called, another crazy man called Crazy Horse. Amen. Born in the 1800s in the Dakotas. His father was Crazy Horse Sr., he was Crazy Horse Jr. His mother's name was Rattle Blanket Woman. They were members of the Lakota Sioux Indian tribe. He used to have curly hair, they say. The famous Indian battle he was in was at Little Bighorn. Amen? And he was famous. He said to Indian, he would say, Hokahay, follow me. It was a Lakota war cry. And he knew and discovered there was something worth living for when there's something worth dying for. Amen? For him, it was the honor and heritage of his homeland. How much less should it be for you and I? Amen? Hokahay. And he would cry out to the soldiers. He died as a young man, but he would cry out to Indian soldiers following him. He would cry out on the warpath and he would say, hey, brother, today is a good day to fight. Today is a good day to die. Crazy Paul. Amen. I die daily. You want to know something, brethren? You're going to die. If today is the day you die, it's a good day to die. Because you've been able to answer these questions. But other people aren't able to. Maybe that's why, even though today's a good day to die, you won't die. Lord, help us to remember and grasp this and use and utilize whatever opportunity and privilege we have with this short, brief, privileged light that remains in each one of us as an individual. Please help our light to shine. Help us to just put a gospel track somewhere to say something to somebody that'll point them to the loving compassion of Jesus that otherwise remains in darkness. We have the answer to this all-important question, afraid to die. Removing the question marks, help us tell other people and share with them the exclamation point of knowing how good it is to be saved. This I would ask to glorify your Son's holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Amen.